This is NBC Nightly News, Thursday, January 16th, with John Chancellor reporting from the NBC News Center in New York and David Brinkley's Journal from Washington.
Good evening. Something was happening in the House of Representatives today which hasn't happened in living memory. The rank-and-file Democrats were voting out of their chairmanship some of the most powerful members of the House and seriously challenging others. Some of the great standing committees of the House now have lost their chairman. Ways and Means has lost Wilbur Mills. Today, Agriculture and Armed Services lost their chairman. The Banking Committee may lose its chairman. Here is more on this historic change from Ray Scherer.
F. Edward Hebert, Louisiana, 73 years old, member of Congress, 34 years, chairman of the Armed Services Committee, 4 years. W. R. Pogue, Texas, 75 years old, member of Congress, 38 years, chairman of the Agriculture Committee, 8 years. The 75 new freshman Democrats were the main push behind dethroning the veterans. They said it was a signal to the other chairmen to change their attitude toward less senior members. Hebert wants a vote on the House floor, and he expects help from Republicans.
The vote is something that is indicative of the times in which we live, and just a complete effort to overthrow those who have been in authority and in power, if you want to use the word power. This is not a final vote. The final vote comes in the total House of Representatives, where the entire House votes. And they vote in an open ballot, not behind the secrecy and cloak of anonymity.
Pogue reflected philosophically on his defeat and admitted possible errors.
The whole situation is, of course, not so much a breakdown of the seniority system as it is a reflection of a feeling on the part of a great many people that they want a new deal, that they feel that anybody who has not agreed with them has somehow must be inherently wrong, and maybe we are.
One Armed Service Committee member talked about the effects today will have.
I think in the long run it'll just be much fairer. I'm not sure the votes on the committee will change so much, but it will open up and we can all participate rather than just sit there and nod and bob and say amen, Charlie.
Unless today's votes are upset in a House floor fight, perhaps still to come, two powerful committee chairmen have been ousted. As for the immediate significance of today's action, the Pentagon may have a tougher time from now on getting what it wants from the Armed Services Committee. And the Agriculture Committee, under its new chairman, will be less farm and more consumer-oriented. Ray Scherer, NBC News at the Capitol.
Further, there is uncertainty about Congressman Wayne Hayes' chairmanship of the House Administration Committee. He has a chance of holding on to his chairmanship, along with Wright Patman of the Banking and Currency Committee, because their cases must now go through the Democratic Steering Committee, the Democratic Caucus, and then to the House floor before they'll be decided. It is a very complicated and historic business. Figures were out today on the performance of the economy in terms of the gross national product for the last quarter of 1974. We'll have the details this evening, which are not good. We'll have a report from Belfast on the holiday ceasefire, which brought a temporary peace to that troubled city, and that could end this evening. And we'll have a look at this cattleman from Nebraska, who for reasons totally out of his control has just lost $142,000, and he's not the only one in that situation. The Israelis stepped up the action today along the Lebanese border, raiding villages and using tanks which crisscrossed the border all day. It had the look of a planned escalation. And for the first time in 1 year, Lebanese artillery shelled an Israeli border town, and later in the day, the Lebanese filed a formal protest with the UN Security Council. Egyptian President Sadat is quoted today as saying, if the Israelis don't withdraw within 3 months, from some territory in Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, he will try for a full-scale Geneva peace conference with the Russians in attendance and abandon the diplomatic efforts of Henry Kissinger. The Israeli Foreign Minister, Yigal Alon, was in Washington today talking with Kissinger, among others. Asked about Sadat's statement, he said he hopes it is not the last word. The situation across the world in Cambodia isn't getting any better. There has been increased insurgent pressure on the capital, Phnom Penh, and on one of the larger regional towns, Nick Long. Here's a report from our man in Cambodia, Don Oliver.
Since the American B-52s were withdrawn in August of 1973, all the air support in this war has been handled by the small Cambodian Air Force. It consists of old T-28 propeller-driven bombers and a handful of helicopter gunships. American observers here say the Cambodian Air Force is performing quite well, that it has become clearly professional in the last year, perhaps too professional. Now the Army relies heavily on airstrikes to push the enemy back. The Army has been reluctant to commit ground forces to follow up the bombing attacks.
Every day for a week, the government forces have been bombing, shelling, and strafing on the east bank of the Mekong River, directly across from the capital city of Phnom Penh. The Khmer Rouge communist troops are deeply dug in that area. They hold about 3.5 kilometers, and so far they have not been moved.
From their positions, the communists have been able to launch daily rocket attacks into Phnom Penh city. That's why the heavy bombing to drive them out. U.S. military planes flown by civilian pilots are shuttling cargo from American bases in Thailand to Phnom Penh Airport. An average of 7 or 8 flights a day, loaded mostly with ammunition. But it is being used up at a rate faster than it can be resupplied. Some 500 tons a day in the last 2 weeks. The heaviest fighting in recent days has been along the Mekong in a little town called Nick Lung. It is important because it gives the communists a good vantage point from which to shell supply convoys coming up the river from South Vietnam. The government forces have lost the west bank of the river here, but they are still hanging on to the east bank. Don Oliver, NBC News, Phnom Penh, Cambodia.
Bad news from Ireland. The Irish Republican Army says it will end its ceasefire at midnight tonight. The announcement was received with shock and dismay in Britain, Ireland, and in Northern Ireland. One Catholic leader in Northern Ireland said only an absolutely insane person would order renewed fighting. The truce has been in effect for 25 days. Here's a report from George Montgomery on what it was like.
Northern Ireland got a brief taste of peace during the IRA ceasefire that began just before Christmas. The ceasefire worked no wonders, but it did bring a slight improvement in the life and mood of a society long torn by violence.
The British soldiers came out of their makeshift fortresses on almost casual patrols. The troops patrolled with their rifles slung over their shoulders instead of at the ready. The ceasefire helped business a little in downtown Belfast, even on wet days. With no bombs and bullets to be braved, shoppers were coming in from outlying districts for the first time in years. Nightlife perked up. Before the ceasefire, both IRA and Protestant gunmen were particularly active after dark, and many people were afraid to go out. Now, some felt free to patronize Belfast's restaurants and nightclubs once more. But many people stayed home, still scared. Underneath what little gaiety there was, people were worried. They knew that temporary ceasefires don't end wars. George Montgomery, NBC News, Belfast.
Despite the fact that the Russians this week said they won't accept an American trade deal, which is tied to Soviet immigration policies, detente was breaking out in both countries today. A spokesman for President Ford said the president is still for détente, and the Russian news agency TASS said the Soviet Union still wants trade with the USA. Incidentally, Soviet party chief Brezhnev did not appear in public this week during the visit of the Prime Minister of Australia. That's unusual, and it increases rumors of bad health. Brezhnev hasn't been seen in person since late last month. Whatever the case, it was learned this evening that Anatoly Dobrynin, the Soviet ambassador to the United States, has been summoned home. Officially, the Soviet Union is saying he's going home for a vacation, but other sources said that he is returning to Moscow for a review of détente with the United States.
Whole grain wheat, hard red spring wheat, whole grain rye. Whole grain means that the wheat germ and rye germ are still there. This is bran. this defatted flax seed, and this is pure golden honey. Now, all of these ingredients are in Roman meal bread. Roman meal, the good-tasting light brown bread with natural whole grain goodness. The Roman Meal Company thought you'd like to know.
Good for us. We're watching our weight and nutrition with the Special K breakfast.
Good for you.
High protein Special K.
A teaspoon of sugar, juice, coffee.
And 4 ounces of skim milk.
Good for you.
A breakfast with protein, vitamins, and iron.
For less than 240 calories.
The Kellogg's Special K breakfast is serious nutrition for weight-conscious adults.
It's delicious.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you. Special K. Good for you.
The United States could be in the most severe economic downturn in 40 years. The Commerce Department reported today that the gross national product, which is the total of all goods and services produced, fell at the rate of 9.1% in the last 3 months of 1974. James Pate, who is chief economist for the Commerce Department, said that if that decline continues for another 3 to 6 months, then the American economy will be in the worst condition since the Depression. But Pate added that he thinks that the Ford administration's tax cut proposals may give the economy the stimulus it needs. An immediate tax cut is one of the two main objectives of the administration's economic program. The other is energy conservation through heavy taxation of petroleum. Today, President Ford began the campaign of selling the administration's program. The day began at breakfast for the president with the leadership of the Congress. Tom Brokaw reports.
The top 12 congressional leaders from both parties told President Ford that tax cut legislation should be ready by April 1st, but they offered no timetable on the president's energy proposals. A White House official said there are differences in approaches on energy. Senate Democratic Whip Bob Byrd put it another way. Byrd wants gas rationing now. The president wants gas rationing only if there is another Arab oil embargo.
There was a series of White House meetings today on the president's proposals. Governors, mayors, and county officials gathered in the East Room for welcoming remarks by Vice President Rockefeller, who said that because of the press of time, Mr. Ford could not consult with them on this program, but that he would be in touch in the future. And then the president came on to go through the main points once more, winding up with an appeal for quick action.
I hope that you, with your vast political background and support, can urge the members of the House on both sides of the aisle to move as rapidly as possible in these two very vital areas. I think the Congress will act. I think we will execute the programs. And instead of hanging together, we can enjoy the future together.
The president was politely received, but a number of state and local officials had questions or criticisms.
We need to fix it so the cash flow will be put back into the economy, you know, and the people in the higher brackets should be paying more taxes, not no taxes.
The energy policy that the president has outlined in the State of the Union message is bound to create the worst inflation we've ever seen in this nation.
Do you think that there's a possibility that the president's tariff on imported foreign oil will stick and Congress won't put a tax on domestic oil?
If that happens and we have to eat it in the East, in the Northeast, it's going to be a tragedy.
There will be more White House meetings tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday, all of them designed to get quick congressional action on the president's program. At the same time, Mr. Ford and his spokesman are talking about common ground and compromises, recognition that while they may get action, they won't get all they want. Tom Brokaw, NBC News at the White House.
The Ford Motor Company today announced a cash rebate program for new cars even more expensive than that begun this week by Chrysler. Henry Ford II, chairman of the company, said buyers of new Ford cars will get back from $200 to $500. The Chrysler offer ranged up to $400. And Ford added the rebates will be offered for entire model lines, not simply specific models as in the Chrysler offer.
Acid in your stomach can sometimes splash into your esophagus to give you
heartburn. Oh, do I have heartburn.
Introducing soothing new Alka-Seltzer Gold, the pure antacid you drink. Down it goes, past your esophagus to your stomach, to wash heartburn away.
Heartburn, you're all washed up.
New Alka-Seltzer Gold washes heartburn away. For headache with upset stomach, use original Alka-Seltzer with specially buffered aspirin.
I smell clean. I smell clean. With Lifebuoy, I smell clean.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi.
Daddy, won't any soap get you clean?
Sure, but it's not enough to be clean. You gotta smell clean. That's why I use Lifebuoy. So, why smell clean?
Lifebuoy deodorant soap. It's not enough to be clean. You gotta smell clean.
Daddy, you really do smell clean. Now, where's my present?
At Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota, a Minuteman missile installation, 27 black servicemen and women locked themselves inside a mess hall for more than 6 hours this morning. The base commander said they were apparently protesting their lack of acceptance by people living near the base. This past year has been a bad one for cattlemen, but now many of them have still another problem. Last week, one of the country's biggest packing houses went bankrupt. Rebecca Bell reports on why it went bankrupt and how that affected many cattle raisers.
Vince Engelmeyer has been raising cattle in northeastern Nebraska for almost 30 years. During that time, he's lost money because of low cattle prices, because of blizzards killing his stock, but now he faces something totally new. Engelmeyer has now lost $142,000 because one of the nation's largest beef packers has filed for bankruptcy. And Engelmeyer is not alone. Myron Deck lost $15,000. Jim Downey lost $42,000. Vernon Beckman lost $70,000. Herman Dinklage lost $75,000. And Bob Feller lost $94,000. In all, farmers like these have lost an estimated $25 million because American Beef Packers doesn't have the money to back up the checks it gave these men. Just 1 week ago, Americans packing plants throughout the country were slaughtering 7,000 cattle a day. Americans' last quarterly report showed large earnings. But the company folded when a creditor, holding $50 million in notes, demanded immediate payment on one of its loans. Now the plants are padlocked, and banks are not honoring Americans' checks. This bank alone in Wisner, Nebraska, handled more than $1 million of the packers' bad checks.
To the best of my knowledge, we have never had a catastrophe even approach this in the livestock business.
For the banks and small businesses in the cattle communities, it's a heavy blow. But for the man who's lost $142,000 and whose livelihood depends on cattle, the question is, can he recover?
Well, because of the cattle market, if cattle start making a little money, I suppose we can. If they lose some more money, we'll have to quit, that's all.
Nebraska cattlemen had a meeting to try to decide how to recover some of their money. They didn't come up with any answers. Federal and state agencies have begun investigations into the American bankruptcy. But right now, nobody is giving the cattlemen any hope of recovering their $25 million in losses. Rebecca Bell, NBC News.
The Oil Workers Union today announced a settlement with two large gasoline refiners, Amoco and Texaco. The union is still threatening strikes against several others. As we reported earlier, there is some disagreement in Congress over President Ford's proposal to raise crude oil taxes. David Brinkley has some ideas on what is apt to happen. David?
Congress and the president agree on the virtues of a tax cut and a rebate, but not on his plan to tax crude oil so as to run up the price of gasoline and to reduce the use of it. There are doubts it would cut the use of gasoline very much, and the tax also would run up the price of home heating oil, which is quite high already, and people can cut down on that only so much, plus the fact that more expensive oil would push up the price of everything that uses it, and that list is almost endless. So instead, gasoline rationing is now a live possibility. When the threat of another Middle East embargo is added to all this, the chance for rationing is even stronger. While it would be messy, it would be better than last winter's long lines of angry people in gas stations hoping to buy 3 or 4 gallons before they closed the pumps, trips canceled because people were afraid they couldn't get the gas to get back home. While rationing would be unattractive, a driver would at least know how much he could get and plan accordingly, an unattractive certainty may be better than an unattractive uncertainty. The need to cut oil use and imports, the doubt that another 10 cents a gallon for gasoline would reduce driving very much, the objection in Congress to running up the price of home heating oil, and the possibility of another boycott. The best guess we can find here is that all this adds up to gasoline rationing this year. John?
In Washington today, the Western industrial nations agreed to set up a $25 billion fund to help countries struggling to pay oil import bills. The industrial countries will put up the money. Loans from the fund will be available to all non-communist industrial countries in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Richard Helms told the Senate Armed Services Committee today that the Central Intelligence Agency did spy on American radicals when he was the CIA's director. Helms said today, quote, "The agency did perform that function in response to the expressed concern of the president," unquote. That was in 1967 when Lyndon Johnson was president. However, in 1973, Helms told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, under oath, "We were not involved because it seemed to me that was a clear violation of what our charter was," unquote. Reuters news agency says staff members of the Foreign Relations Committee now are examining Helms' earlier testimony from the viewpoint of possible perjury charges.
I smell clean, whoa! I smell clean, whoa! With Lifebuoy, I'm not just clean, I smell clean, whoa!
He's gone bananas.
You know, getting me Lifebuoy was terrific. Now, one morning shower and I'm not only clean, I smell clean, whoa!
Lifebuoy deodorant soap. It's not enough to be clean, you gotta smell clean.
Hey, you really do smell clean. Wow!
Today is the day to ask your hands if you should switch to Vaseline Intensive Care Lotion.
Ask which makes them feel better, your hand lotion or Vaseline Intensive Care. Feel Vaseline Intensive Care Lotion go to work to soften and heal rough, dry skin. Smooth. Ask your hands, isn't today the day to switch to Vaseline Intensive Care Lotion? You can feel it heal rough, dry hands.
We began the program this evening by reporting on some of the surprising changes in the leadership of the great standing committees of the House of Representatives. There have been 93 Congresses before this one, and few, if any, have seen such tremendous changes at the beginning of the session. One of the reasons is the militancy and the independence of a large crop of new members. We asked Douglas Kuiker to spend some time with one of them, and here is what he learned.
David Evans, who's only 28 years old, is one of 92 new congressmen elected last November, one of 75 new Democrats. He defeated a veteran conservative Republican in Indianapolis by only 7,500 votes. Since then, he's been roaming his district from plant gates to party dinners, thanking the voters who elected him and reminding them that he will be asking for their votes again just 2 years from now.
Well, listen, I, you know, once in there, well, I'm ready to start helping out some of the communities in the district, so we'll put yours right up there on top.
Okay. And Evans has been promising them all that once in Washington, he will keep in touch.
I want and I need your continuing support and assistance and advice and suggestions and help in every means with which you can provide me over the next 2 years, and for that reason, I'm really looking forward to beginning my service in the House. Thank you very much.
Young new congressmen like David Evans arrive in Washington all the time. Some stay for years and gain power through seniority. Others are defeated in the next election. But for all of them, the beginning is the same: getting office space assignments, hiring a staff, and signing the House payroll. The members of the Class of 94, as these new members of the 94th Congress are calling themselves, are younger and more liberal. It is said that they represent the wave of the future in the House of Representatives. It is said they arrive in Washington with a mandate for change. But the realities of life in the House have not changed, not all that much. First of all, the Capitol Police must learn to recognize the new members. David Evans got the committee assignments he requested, but he is almost at the end of the line in seniority.
We have here 21 out of 25.
Oh, 25. I say. No.
It could be worse, I guess, yeah.
And Evans had to petition the powerful chairman of the House Administration Committee, Wayne Hayes, for extra money for office space back home.
Some lawyer around here ruled that you couldn't have a mobile office, and I, not being a lawyer, have no hesitancy in overruling him. I said you can have, and signed a letter to that effect, and nobody ever challenged it.
And so Mr. Evans has come to Washington. He won his office the hard way, campaigning door to door, and he's determined to keep it. Nobody knows how long he'll be around. That's up to the voters back home.
Nobody really knows what sort of congressman Evans is going to make either. But one thing is certain, the way David Evans and 91 other new congressmen vote is going to have a lot to do with what laws are passed and are not passed during the next 2 years. Douglas Kiker, NBC News on Capitol Hill.
And good night for NBC News.